So just a quick thought, we have a few minutes left, but I do want to just get us into the Chanukah spirit. The Rambam has a very interesting description of Chanukah. Maimonides, when he writes about the laws of Chanukah, makes the following statement. You'll tell me what strikes you as interesting about this. Mitzvah ner Chanukah, the mitzvah of lighting the Chanukah candles, mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od, is a extremely or excessively dear or precious mitzvah. Chaviva hi ad ma'od. V'tzorach odom lihi zoher, but a person has to be very particular, very careful when it comes to the mitzvah, the fulfillment of the lighting of the Chanukah candles. Lohodia hanes, in order to make known the miracle that took place, the miracle, both the miracle of the candle that remained, the oil that burned for the 8 days, the miracle of the war that the Jews were able to successfully defeat a far more technologically advanced and superior Greek army. Lehosif b'sheva hakel, and to increase our praise of Hashem, and hodoyalo, our thanks to Him, al hanisim sha'asalana, for the miracles that He did. So in one brief sentence, the mitzvah of Chanukah is a very dear and special mitzvah in which we are able to, in which you have to be very careful with, in order to increase the knowledge of the miracle and give thanks and praise to Hashem for the miracles that He did for us. What strikes you as interesting about this statement of the Rambam? Oh, come on, take
it. It says the miracle. Which miracle?
So you're at a little bit of an unfair advantage. That's, I'll acknowledge that. The unfair advantage, or unfair disadvantage that you're at, I should really say, is that you have to really be familiar with the Rambam and his writings. The Rambam, Maimonides, when he wrote his book for a very specific purpose, and that was a halachic work. He wanted to write and describe what it is that we need to do, going through, searching through all of the Talmud, and to clarify and organize all of the laws as they come out from the various places in the Talmud, and one place in which you could list all of the laws. So it's interesting that the Rambam, when writing a primarily a halachic work, has this editorial comment that the mitzvah of Chanukah candles are chaviva ad ma'od, extremely dear and special. Like, we're not looking for editorial comments. What do I need to do for Chanukah? What's the point of the Yantav? Is it to make the nes known? Is it to make the miracle well known? Is it to increase my level of praise and thank? Great, that's what I'm supposed to do. How do I light? What do I say? What do I do? And the Rambam throws in an editorial comment that this is not only what you need to do, and that this is the purpose of the mitzvah, but it's chaviva ad ma'od. Now, it's actually a nice thing. We just had that exact same phrase in the psukim we just studied. Vayera hadavar be'enei Avram. The thing, the matter, greatly distressed Avram me'od. It was excessively distressing to Avram. The Torah uses the word me'od. Me'od is a power, like a lot. And the Rambam uses the same phrase to describe how special the mitzvah of Chanukah is. It is chaviv. It's dear. Ad me'od. Really, really, really special. When is it that the Rambam sees in this particular mitzvah that he would use such a phrase to describe, when his purpose is really to tell us what to do, and here he gives us the feeling that we should have towards it? And I want to just note that the mitzvah of Chanukah is one of two principal rabbinic mitzvahs. Many, many, many of the mitzvahs that we do come straight from the Torah, Tefillin, and Shabbos, and Kashrus, and Tzitzis, and all of those mitzvahs are biblical in nature, Midaraisa. And then we have a couple major rabbinic mitzvahs. We have a lot of rabbinic law. Most of rabbinic law are protective fences to make sure that we don't violate the laws of the Torah. But there are a couple of major rabbinic positive mitzvahs that we do, namely
Chanukah
and Purim. Those are the two main ones. Purim and Chanukah both are holidays, like rabbinic holidays that we have added to our calendar after the times of the Torah, celebrating and commemorating major events for the purposes of each one, which we're not going to talk about Purim today, but Chanukah is one of those rabbinic mitzvahs. It certainly is not mentioned overtly in the Torah. The episodes and events of Chanukah took place far after the Torah was already completed. Okay, there's a question that's asked about Chanukah, which I'm sure that you have heard. If you have not heard, you will now hear it. It's a classic question about Chanukah that's asked by Rabbi Yosef Cairo. Rabbi Yosef Cairo was a 15th century sage who wrote what's known as the Shulchan Aruch, the primary body of law that we use in Halacha. And he asks the following question, and that question is, how many days do we celebrate Chanukah?
Eight.
That's not his question. Why is it that we celebrate 8 days of Chanukah? Correct, because the miracle lasted for 8 days, because the oil, which would have only lasted for one day, burns for all eight. And his question is, well, wait a minute, but they found one flask of oil, which should have burned for one day. How long did it eventually burn for?
8 days.
So how many of the days were miraculous, and how many of the days were because they had oil?
Seven
were miraculous, and one was just regular.
Right.
So the Beis Yosef, the Rabbi Yosef Kairo, asks the question, why did the sages establish Chanukah as an 8-day holiday to commemorate the miracle? The miracle was only 7 days. One day was normal. Oil burns for a day. And since oil burns for a day, that's not a miracle. The miracle aspect of it was 7 days. Why is it that we celebrate Chanukah for 8 days? That is his classic question. There are entire books that are written answering, gathering all the various answers that he himself offers. A couple of answers, some of the earlier commentators offer some other answers, and this is the kind of question that everybody likes to talk about and discuss different aspects of Chanukah, from the fact that the sages saw it fit to write, to establish an 8-day holiday, and the miracle took place for 7. One of the answers that are given, this is, again, they're like classic answers and they're cute answers, there are all sorts of different types of answers to this question. This is one of the more classic answers, goes as follows. In the world that we live in, so life as we know it, we have a word for normal occurrences, and that's what we would call nature. It's the normal course of events. And we're familiar with those things, and they're not out of the ordinary. That which we define as a miracle is that which is out of the ordinary, that which we would not either expect or goes beyond all known physical laws of nature. This does not make sense, it does not fit, and therefore we would define it as miraculous. I wrote an article last year, if you remember, in the bulletin, about what's known as the miracle on ice. The 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey victory against the Russians in the Olympics. And why is that called a miracle on ice? What made that into a miracle? Made famous by Al Michaels' famous broadcast, "Do you believe in miracles?" in the last 4 seconds right? It was a miracle because
it was a ragtag group of
four. It didn't make sense. It was a ragtag group of college American kids playing together for 6 months, playing against a semi-professional group of Russians who had won 25 straight Olympic hockey games, outscoring their opponents by ridiculous numbers. It didn't make, you can't explain it. And when you can't explain it, it's a miracle. Well, the U.S. also defeated Finland that year in the U.S. in the Olympics. Why was that not a miracle? Well, that's not a miracle because I understand, I explain it. They're a better team. They didn't need miraculous intervention to beat Finland. They just needed to play hard, execute according to the plan, practice during the week, and they'll beat them. But the Russians, they can't beat the Russians. That required a miracle. So the Gemara expresses this idea in an episode that's recorded in the Gemara in Maseches Tainis, that Rabbi Chanina ben Doso, one of the sages of the Gemara, saw that his daughter on a Friday night was distraught. Just come home from shul, and she's just despondent. He says, "What happened? What's going on?" She says, "I lit my Shabbos candles, and I realized as soon as I lit the candles that I made a mistake. I poured vinegar into the cups instead of oil." Now, he said, "What's the big deal?" Well, they're living in a time like that was your light for Friday night. In other words, if you poured vinegar in instead of oil, vinegar doesn't burn, so you're going to burn out of the wick and whatever you can out of whatever the wicks can draw out of the vinegar for a few minutes, and then it's going to go out. But once she lit candles, she accepted Shabbos. That's it. It's done. She can't do anything anymore. She lit candles, accepting upon herself Shabbos. She lit with vinegar. They're going to burn out. It's going to be pitch black. We're going to be eating it. The whole purpose of the Shabbos candles is to eat at night. She was despondent. So he said, "What's the problem?" He said, "What do you mean, what's the problem? I lit vinegar. Vinegar doesn't burn. I know your head is in the base medrash all day, Dad," she says, "but everybody knows vinegar doesn't burn. I need oil." And he responded to her, "It's not a problem. Misha Omar Lashemin Shiyad," like the one who commands oil to burn, "Yomer Lachoymet Yalik," can command vinegar to burn. The same God who created oil with the property that it should burn can have vinegar burn. It's not a problem.
Did it burn?
And it did. The Gemara says it burned the whole Shabbos, all the way until the end of Shabbos, and when it came time for Havdalah, then it extinguished itself, and he relit the candle to be able to light, to make Havdalah.
Okay.
That's what the Gemara records. That phrase, the same God who says that shemen, that oil should burn, can say that vinegar should burn. And that's the concept that the Talmud expresses, that things that we see is, we see in oil properties that allow it to burn. So he said, how does that work? So we can explain it scientifically. Here is the property of oil that allows it with combustion to take place, and when you light it with the wick, it will burn. Here are the properties of vinegar, and that these properties don't burn. Who created the system that these properties of vinegar that are non-combustible, they just don't burn? So God created that system. He created a system that says properties X, Y, and Z don't burn. So he can create a system that those same properties do burn. So in the same way that we would view vinegar burning as miraculous because it doesn't make sense, science doesn't allow for that, it doesn't have the properties that allow for combustion, well, God created all of those things. So in our world that we perceive, now we live in, certain things are normal, and certain things are not normal. So we would quantify this as a miracle, and this is not a miracle. The Gemara is teaching you there's no such difference. It's only a miracle because we're used to one, that we live in a world of science. We live in a world of nature. So we view this as a miracle, but really it's all the same. The same God that creates this creates that. And therefore in Hanukkah, we celebrate for 8 days. Because we forget this principle. We don't live our life every day as a miracle because we get used to it. And it's pretty difficult for a person to live their life thinking that every day is a miracle. It would get old very quickly, and then you would start thinking of the word miracle as normal. That's not how we function. We live in the world and we accept things as normal, and we see things out of the ordinary. We're like, whoa, that's the hand of God. The Ramban, Nachmanides, writes several different places that the reason why God every once in a while displays to us miraculous events is a reminder. It's a reminder that even though, imagine if we lived in a world with no rules. Imagine if there was no science, if there was no such concept that we know that every time you drop something, it's going to fall. Sometimes it falls, sometimes it flies to the sky, sometimes it goes horizontal. Imagine if you never knew. We couldn't live. So he gave us a world that has rules, that has regular, scientifically measurable, it's a system, so we can function. But it's not because the system had to be there and it exists outside of God. It's that God created a system to allow us to function, and then every once in a while says, I know I gave you this system, but every once in a while I need it to be different. So put that on hold and I'll do things differently. We're like, whoa, miracle. Yeah, it's to remind you, the only person who can do that is the person who created the system. If the system existed by definition, that it had to be, that the nature of the world was such that it had to be that when you dropped something it fell to the floor because of gravity, then there'd be no way ever to go around that. There'd be no way that you can create miracles where seas split and makos come and destroy. It'd be impossible. So God creates all of these various scenarios throughout world history, primarily during the times of Pesach and different times of the Torah's time, and they're buying it as a reminder to let you know, I'm doing all of this. In the same way that things sometimes think or appear to be normal, I'm really running the show and I control it all. And therefore, in Hanukkah, in which we have one of those examples where a little flask of oil burns for 8 days, so you say, oh, the miracle's only 7 days, the first day was normal. So you say, no. We're going to celebrate for 8 days. Because the experience that we had of seeing one flask burn for eight reminds us that that's really the same miracle as it burning for one. Who created the properties that it could burn for one was the same God who allowed it to burn for eight. And when we see, when we're open to those miraculous events, it reminds us of that which we consider to be normal, that which we consider to be nature, and just a natural event, that that's also considered miraculous. That's also by the hand of God. And the reason why this is particularly important during Hanukkah, why the sages established that, is because the Greek culture, primarily with their philosophers, Aristotle and others, had a particular focus on the concept of the world is magnificent, and what you can measure in the world exists. What you can't measure, see, perceive in the world does not exist, and that therefore the world always existed. There was no God that created the world. The world was here. The world always did exist, always will exist, and that the physical natures and properties of the world is the religion, so to speak. That is what is, and if you can't explain it, if you can't see it, you can't feel it or measure it, don't tell me about these philosophical ideas about God. And the battle that the Jews specifically had during this time was in this arena. It was in the arena of the Greeks who were the leaders. They were the paradigm, the forefront of scientific knowledge, of mathematics, of architecture. they understood the beauty of the world. They understood the nature of the world better than any society that had come before them. And they ended it there. That's what there is. And the Jews would come and say, yes, there is beauty, but beauty is there in holiness. It's there to express an underlying concept of spirituality of a God who created all of this. And in that lay the clash, really, between the Jewish and the Greek cultures, between that which can be measured and felt and that which said, but there's more there than that. And it's specifically in Hanukkah that we have this concept of beauty of the menorah, the beauty of the oil, and we celebrate the miracle which was 7 days, but the very question itself has the assumption that the first day wasn't a miracle, the first day was normal. The only aspect of miraculous was the next 7 days. And the sages said, no, specifically this battle of the Greeks and the Jews, we're going to celebrate for 8 days. Because we're going to say, there's no such thing as normal. The same miracle that you see on days 2 through 8, those 7 days, that same miracle on day 1 as well. The concept of oil being able to burn, the concept of nature inside. But you can measure it, you can explain it, you can... That's also the hand of God running the world that we live in, and we see that beyond, even though we can't feel or touch that, but we see that there as much as the science that we can feel and touch, and therefore it's specifically Hanukkah where we do have that concept of celebrating for 8 days, even though it was a 7-day miracle, to recognize and appreciate that everything that we have is run by God, created by God, and miraculous, even though we can't live our life with that sense of the miracle. We need to know how the world is going to run. We couldn't function if there were no rules. But within that system, we're not blinded by that function, by that system. We don't forget that even though we live, it's a benefit to us that we have a system with rules, but that doesn't take away from the fact that the system was created by God who makes up those rules and can affect them whenever He wants. And therefore, we celebrate all 8 days. And I wish you all a glorious, magnificent Hanukkah, inspiring Hanukkah, one in recognition of thanks. Oh, and therefore, let me just finish the thought. And therefore, the Rambam says that's why this is so dear and so special, because this reminds us of our whole life. This is a mitzvah whose whole purpose is recognize that everything that you have
is a miracle.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.